Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook at 1700 The Champ, the website 1700thechamp.com. All the podcasts are up and current. I upload them into Audio Boom. You can check them out wherever you download your podcast. Tonight, after the show, 6 o'clock pregame Wednesday, Twins and Red Sox. Then you're going to get Twins and Tigers Friday, 5:30, Saturday, 5:30, and Sunday, 12:30. Next week, while we are out, you're going to get Twins Braves. Those pregames are at 5:30. And like I said yesterday, and we'll say again today, so tomorrow is our final show until after the 4th of July. So July 5th, we will be back in here with Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
And no, we are not vacationing together.
No.
I love you like family, but we need time apart.
Yes, so. We're vacationing. He still has to work.
Yes, I still have that job thing.
There you go. So, as always, want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance, along with the iCubs. And Randy Wayhofer should be getting in here today around 5 o'clock.
I was going to say, should be in a good mood, because what was it? It was a iCubs today. It was an 8-0 win over the Memphis Redbirds.
Yes. Little home run hit in action today, which was pretty cool. Yeah. So we got, we'll have Randy in here. And for all of you, Florida just punched their ticket into the World Series finale.
The College World Series in Omaha.
Beat TCU 3-2. Scored a run in the top of the ninth. And their center fielder didn't rob a home run, but robbed an extra base hit going deep into center field to get the last out. Next up is Wake Forest versus LSU. For LSU to follow suit, they have to win two. Wake Forest only needs to win one. So that's kind of where we are at in that area there. What else do I have? I don't think I have. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. It's busy. It's like I said, it's been a warm week, which is, and it's been a dry stint, which is good for construction, but we could use some rain out there.
Yeah, I think some is coming this weekend. I think I saw that a couple of.
Man, I didn't even see that yet.
And okay. Cooler next week. I did hear that.
Right.
Mid-80s maybe, low to mid-80s. Better than 90. It's nice out right now.
It's not bad.
I'm telling you, I have a long sleeve on now. That has more to do with blood thinners yes, than anything else. But it's not. You can always get warm. It's hard to cool off sometimes when you're out and about. You know what? I try to let you do this. So it's Wednesday. It's hump day.
Hump day.
What is your lead story today?
Oh, it's lame. I guess it's probably the
lame.
Well, it's what everybody's talking about here locally.
Okay.
And it's interesting to talk about it because it's two people that are big names in Iowa.
Okay.
Caitlin Clark, Brock Purdy, and you know where I'm going.
Yes.
But the reason we're talking about
it's a great reason.
It's the ESPYs.
Yes. Love the ESPYs.
Yeah, say it one more time. It's the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Okay. And I go with, I've heard this multiple different times ring out throughout the day. Aren't they, you know, kind of budget cutting everything?
Oh my gosh, did you see? So
and yet they're doing this fancy schmancy award show yet.
I don't know who you listen to in the morning, but it might have been the last time that you listened to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. All three of them, I do not think, are getting their contracts renewed.
I have heard they are not as well.
Yeah,
it's
a deep cut.
Another casualty. There's a whole other round of layoffs, if you will, coming to ESPN because it's not generating what it used to in the past.
And it's on-air personalities, which is not and the crazy thing is.
But didn't they just do a massive contract for
Pat McAfee?
McAfee?
But Pat McAfee brings a whole slew.
I would be scared to death and hope for some guaranteed money if I was Pat McAfee, because he is going to have to change the format of what he does and has followers for. Now he's going to be bridled, and it's not going to be the same show.
See, I'm ready to figure out. See, I think it's really funny. I could see them podcasting it and doing it live and bleeping him. But you do a lot of bleeping. I don't know. I didn't.
That's going to be a lot of dead air, but okay.
I didn't understand it either, but. And I definitely didn't understand it for exactly what you just said. They knew cuts were coming. They know they are bleeding money. They're bleeding right. money everywhere. Everything that they're involved in, they're not making the money that they said to the creditors, this is how much we're going to make. This is why you need to double down and give us our loans to get and pay for everything that we do. If that's football, getting the football on ESPN, or all these other things they have going on. But people aren't watching.
But aren't they? Yes, I understand that. But they're connected to the Golden Goose. Mother Hen is Disney.
And what happened to Disney? Last three movies haven't been very good. And you know what? You did the one thing that everybody has said. You know what? In this country, if you want to get hits on social media, boy, you can talk about politics all you want. If you want to keep your audiences, you better stay in the middle and talk sports.
The woke war down in Florida with Disney is not working well.
No. And they're, you know, they just opened up. They did $1 billion renovation or whatever. People aren't coming.
No.
Ask Bud Light. They didn't even hardly do anything. And people just said, you know what? No.
Right. It's
It's different. And I don't know. I love listening to Pat McAfee. I'm with you. I love listening to Pat McAfee on game day because I think every one of those guys, I mean, seriously, and this is not I apologize for this because it's going to sound horrible. So I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway.
You're
going to
go down to Lee Corso?
I am. The fact that they trot him out on there is sad.
It's just mean.
It is mean.
It's
they laugh and giggle and I just, I think it's horrific. And I mean, if you can't get any more anti Lee Corso than in with Pat McAfee. And I think Pat McAfee may love Lee Corso.
I would say anti. I would say the opposite of.
Right.
That it's the yes.
But I love the fact that he's on there because
he's less about seems at times to be less about the sports, more about the entertainment.
Right. And I think that's needed when you're asking people to sit there and watch your show for 3.5 hours on what you're charging advertisers to be on that show,
right.
and that's the content you're getting out of that show without him, with him, the content is unusual and not scripted
right.
and all the things that make live TV good.
So to go back to your original question, what is on my mind? My mind is, as you were obviously talking about, it's the fact that we have Brock Purdy nominated and we have Caitlin Clark nominated for ESPYs.
Right.
If those two names, and she's actually nominated for two. Breakout and Female Athlete of the Year. Okay. With that being said, if these two names were in it, I wouldn't have uttered the words ESPY for another 10 months.
I wouldn't either. And the funny thing is on the one that, I can't remember if it's the one that Brock Purdy and her is on there, that Angel Reese is on,
yes.
or is that?
Yes.
Let's talk about that. I think what Brock Purdy did last year was amazing.
Okay, when it comes to who deserves the award, it's Brock Purdy.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think it's what Caitlin Clark did.
No. It's Breakout.
Right,
the
breakout.
Definition is breakout.
Right. She broke out to the rest of the country. She was here for us. We knew that. Nobody in the country knew that.
But she was the pro. No, I say Brock Purdy because he went from 2 minutes away of not having a job and getting drafted to a bad elbow, arm, and a quarter to almost being in the Super Bowl. No, I go Brock Purdy all day long with this.
And here's why I disagree. She is the reason that she's where she's at. He is on an amazing football team that anybody could have quarterbacked and probably got them to the same place.
Just the simple
fact that they brought in Sam Darnold and said, everybody on their coaching staff said, if Brock can't come back, Sam Darnold can do the same thing that Brock did. That's how talented we are. Brock Purdy fan.
For expectation of what should have been achieved of last year.
Okay.
his flame went higher, faster,
for him
higher.
Or the San Francisco 49ers?
For him.
Right. As for the San Francisco 49ers, they were a preseason Super Bowl favorite.
For Brock Purdy as a breakout athlete, yes, he did. He went from being, what, 17th string quarterback, mystery relevant. Oh, we're going to give him a couple.
He was a third string quarterback.
Okay,
he started the season
still,
as a third
string quarterback. They gave him, you know, what, a Walkman and some Panera cards because, you know, oh, Mr. Relevant. Ha,
Mr.
Ha,
Irrelevant.
Ha. And
Mr.
then he almost makes it to the flipping Super Bowl.
And Mr. Irrelevant went to Kyle Shanahan, a great defense, and a talented offense.
Right. And he did
and all
the
he
job
had to
he
do,
was supposed to do.
Right.
And he did the job he was supposed to do.
He did the job he was supposed to do. That's not breakout.
Okay, but no,
that
he
is,
started down
that
here
is breakout,
and ended up here.
That's
so,
breakout
no,
on breakout for
low,
ESPYs.
Too high.
No, breakout
she
for ESPYs
high
is,
and was supposed to stay at high.
Breakout for ESPYs was come onto the scene and break out and do these amazing things both. Not just on the football field. This isn't a football field thing.
No.
This is social media.
Okay,
thing.
They to me, Caitlin Clark did amazing things, but she was at a high level and she was supposed to stay at a high level too. I don't consider that the definition of breakout. Angel Reese is on this thing because they want the clicks. Every chance they get, they're going to make a competition between these two because it went from 800,000 people watching girls basketball to 9 million people watching basketball. They're trying to get clicks everywhere they can. Well, I don't know. Is this going to be a racial thing? Is this? It's all they're trying to do is get clicks.
I don't think Angel Reese should be anywhere near being a breakout. So I'm good with
I
that
just,
one.
Yeah, okay, that's but it. They are doing things to get clicks. ESPN needs us to be talking about this. We are a CBS affiliate, and we're talking about ESPN things. So I mean, it obviously is working somewhat.
Yeah.
So is the entire nation talking about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on the ESPYs? Probably not as much as we are in little, you know, Midwest Iowa, if you will.
Well, no, they're talking. We're talking more about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese than we're talking about Brock Purdy in little Podunk, Iowa.
But I still go with that it was more of a surprise and a brighter star when it was all said and done with Brock Purdy.
I think that if you go off your definition of breakout year, I think you're probably right. I don't think that's the definition that ESPN has put out there to be able to vote on that.
I don't think they care about definition. They think they care about the fact that we're talking about it and people are clicking on it.
Well, yeah, but
because
you still have
said
to.
It. We just said it. Would you even have uttered the word ESPY for another year if we didn't have these two people
well,
that
like
have Iowa ties?
Ever since Jim Valvano, I've watched the ESPYs.
Well, it's been quite
so
some
see, that's,
time.
That's the difference. See, so
it's been quite some time since
imagine
they were,
this, that we have a radio station and a radio show that we don't agree on. That's awesome.
Well, but
it doesn't have to be because of.
We disagree on a definition of what you think breakout is, and in my mind, what breakout is. That's fine. Who do I think is actually going to win the award? I think Brock Purdy is going to win the award.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I don't know.
Why? Why do I say that?
Because it's the NFL.
Bingo. Three
but
letters.
How many,
NFL.
But how many dudes are voting and how many others are voting? Because they'd vote Brock Purdy just because it's NFL. They wouldn't care if it was some obscure person that was in the NFL. They'd say, well, NFL, because I can't vote for – I can't vote for two gals because that.
Okay,
I
then
can't.
Let's go down this path. How many more games is NCAA women's basketball going to get played on ESPN, or is NFL going to get played on ESPN?
Well, NFL is not going to. NFL only gets one game, so
right.
And the amount of money they made. I mean, it's not. It's the NFL against women's college basketball. I mean, that's.
No.
That's embedded in a bunch of people that don't
and
understand.
Who does this? Is it,
and
is
that's
it
not
voting?
Part of our show.
Is it online voting?
I have no idea. If it's online voting, that knocks out 65% of the people that watch professional football that don't know how to work that.
Okay.
So I'm good
is
there.
Is it online voting? Is it voting by the media? Is it sports writers? Is it? I mean, I need to hear the definition of. I'm very happy that we are talking about relevant names that have connections
but
to the state
you have a
of
point.
Iowa.
Breakout is a point. I get that.
Right.
Because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Well, very much so.
But I'm pretty sure no one thought that Iowa was going to make the Final Four either.
Okay.
So,
all right. But still, it's
but you're gonna watch
the ESPYs most likely.
Right, you're gonna win the argument because just the way we are in this country about voting on women's sports and men's sports. I mean, that's a no brainer. I mean, they'd be lucky to receive 3% of the vote, and Brock Purdy receives 80% of the vote just because of the people that watch ESPN, the demographic that watches ESPN,
right. That's what I'm saying. I think plus there's going to be a hardline split down the – there's no way I'm voting for Caitlin Clark. I'm going to vote for Angel Reese. It's those two.
See, I don't even think that's as big in the
– And who's the fourth person?
I don't even know if Angel Reese was the best player on her basketball team. So, I you know what? I don't know if I could tell you who the fourth person is. Do they have four people?
Yes, there was a fourth one.
That would be quite interesting. You know, anywhere on social media and...
Holy buckets.
Who is it?
Oh, buddy. I'm sorry. I had not seen this yet. Did you see the two-year contract Dalvin Cook's going to get from an AFC East contender?
Really?
$21 million for 2 years. Miami Dolphins.
Well...
God, I hope he can throw the ball.
That means there's a really good chance that DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Miami Dolphins.
Why?
Because those two kind of wanted to hook back up after being with the Texans.
Well.
And
Tyreek Hill just got busted for assault, so we'll see where that goes.
And I'm pretty sure that neither one of them can throw a football.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not good. We'll have to talk about that when we come back, too. Man, that first segment went fast.
Well, when you don't agree with me, it always does. So.
Exactly. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. Halfway through the week. What'd you hit me with?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you even printed.
Oh, I retyped it and everything. I'm so excited.
Look at you. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, @Happy Hour_SS, @SteenOnSports, and @1700TheChamp. Twins Red Sox right after our show tonight. And then you're going to get Twins, Tigers, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Next Monday, Tuesday, Twins, Braves. Scott and I will be off after tomorrow's show until the following Wednesday. A little breaking news. So Ann, the CEO of the Newton Race Speedway, texted me last night that she's going to be ready to come on and talk about the Speedway.
Mary? Help me with the name.
Ann.
There we go. Ann. Sorry, Ann.
Yeah. That's why I said Ann texted me.
I thought you said and.
No, Ann texted me.
Okay.
So looking forward to that. And she's very excited because she is now a Newtonian. So she's an Iowan. She
now lives in Newton.
She lives in Newton.
Newtonian. So, wow.
Yeah, you like that?
Just look at you.
That's what
up.
I told her.
Just making up words.
I sent her a thing, a Newtonian. And she goes, can I just be an Iowan? I'm like, no, you're a Newtonian.
Well, no.
But she is an Iowan.
You did correct me last year because one of us kept calling it Newton Speedway, and it's the Iowa Speedway. So and if she would like to be an Iowan, that's good.
See, and the really funny thing about that, and I believe, except for I'm assuming that whoever owns the name Iowa Speedway paid the Iowa Speedway. But since they're not having the NASCAR race there, and that's why his name was changed, it should be the Newton Speedway. That's my thought.
No.
But you can't get money for that.
Right.
Because the actual Iowa Speedway was for the NASCAR race that was there. And they don't race NASCAR there.
Right. But still,
which was too bad because that was a fun track to watch NASCAR on because they go fast.
So the outdoor malls in Altoona are called the outlets of Des Moines. Does that bother you?
No, because actually where they're at is kind of in the no friend zone.
the no wake zone.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I'm pretty sure that might be Annex Des Moines there and not no Altooneville.
That's awesome.
So we will see.
Well, good. That's exciting because we are supposed to go over on Friday, correct?
Yes. We will, same as we did last year. And
to sit on that 180-degree blacktop. Oh, what?
Hy-Vee. We're in the Hy-Vee Center now.
Yay, all right.
Because when I went back to watch the races, and I was sitting in the Hy-Vee Center and watching the races, but then able to maneuver around and go places, it was a lot more fun.
Well, this will be fun.
Because it was warm. So
hopefully we can take Steve with us again, because that was
it was a good time. So we'll try to get her on the show as soon as we can.
Was it the Blue Bunny people came around and gave us free like ice cream or something like that?
Yeah, that's not going to work because they're going to melt before we can even start.
Oh, no, it was good.
Yeah, it was.
Steve liked it. I remember that. He went to town on it.
So you have first read.
First read.
And you're excited about the first read. Well, hold on. Whoa, I got to find something. What do I have?
La, la.
What do I have that is
see
that this, would be the best?
See all the writing that went with it? Now it's typed out.
It's typed out.
You said you've evolved the script. Good
it
job.
It is amazing. You know what?
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see if
it pays off.
There you go. Northwest Bank, commitments you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to NW Bank and take advantage of applying online for various types of loans. From vehicle loans to mortgage, it starts there. On the website, you can also visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can visit the Big Buzz blog for business insight and use the multiple tools easily to find the resource to enhance your banking experience. All this at NW.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Member FDIC.
I signed my closing documents on my app on my phone today.
Well, like I said, NW.bank, I've been playing a little around. There is a lot.
There's a ton of stuff.
On that website and a lot of help. So
yep.
Good people, good place.
Whew,
commitment you can bank on.
There you go.
There you go.
Interesting little tidbit here. The Boston Celtics, the Washington Wizards, and the Clippers are talking. The Celtics are trying to get Kristaps Porzingis from the Wizards. He averaged 22-8 a game. Gives them some height that isn't 37 years old, which is what Al Horford is.
Right.
Give up Malcolm Brogdon, who will go to the Clippers, and I'm assuming the Washington Wizards are just taking some salary cap money away and probably getting something on the backside of that. Malcolm Brogdon kind of wore out his welcome a little bit, had a little trouble this year too, and didn't play as well as what they considered. And they have a glut of people that do the same thing. So that would be, at least the Boston Celtics are trying to do some changes. I think more is needed. I still think that there is a 50-50 shot their coach may go to West Virginia, thinking that if we don't win an NBA title next year, there's no way I'm keeping this job. And if we start out poor, I'm not even going to stay half the season.
Right.
Or I could go be West Virginia's savior, and even because he is a fan and had some coaching with Bob Huggins. This is the issue that I have with West Virginia. I don't know if you saw this one today. So they're starting a petition to get him back because it wasn't that big a deal what he did. I'm like, if I had hillbilly music, I'd be playing hillbilly music right now. But I'm like, okay, one DWI, it happens a lot. Two, no. And the things he said on the radio, no. And just everything else that he does. Can he win games? Yes. Can he win games with talent, with no talent? Yes. Yes. Is it always, are you always just crossing your fingers and toes? Once again, hillbillies. And okay, making sure that he doesn't do something stupid that causes the school a lot of issues.
I just think you're anti-recycling because he's an enthusiast.
He's an enthusiastic recycler, recycling enthusiast. I giggled about that on the way home last night. I mean, come on. That is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm a lot of enthusiasts in my life. Oh my goodness. So, you know, we are a day away from the NBA draft.
Yes, we are.
And some of the things that I was hearing on the radio today, and
does the Chris Paul surprise trade
bother you?
Do you just think he's not relevant anymore? It doesn't matter?
I think he's relevant if he goes to the right place. And what's going to happen is either they're just going to release him, pay him whatever they do to get him off the cap, and then just let him go choose his team, or they're going to send him to a team that he wants to go to. You know, so this is a really funny thing. If it wasn't for those 25 games, if I was the Memphis Grizzlies, I'd like to have Chris Paul there.
Right.
The Atlanta Hawks have some issues with Trae Young. What would be better? Having someone like Chris Paul there.
Right.
Anybody that has a team that is an up-and-coming young team that needs veteran leadership of somebody that can't play, you know, 80 games, 82 games, I think he fits in. You know, either L.A. team, that's where he wants to go because he lives in L.A. So going to the Clippers or going to the Lakers, if he can sign, that makes sense. But I don't know. I mean, I think what the Phoenix Suns brought in is interesting. No team wins by doing that. I mean, the only team that ever won by bringing in that other guy was Kevin Durant. He went to a Golden State team that already won a title.
Well, and you know this. My thing was it was pretty, I guess, disrespectful, if you're going to go with that, with Chris, because he was on an airplane. The news was released. By the time he landed, they're like, well, what do you think about this? And he goes, what do you think about what?
Right.
I
thought that was poor.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is he now a throwaway item for them? Is they didn't care about it?
And my thing is, dude didn't fly somewhere on a commercial jet. He was flying on a private jet. They could have called him.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I agree.
Now, I think a lot of these guys don't look at social media on a normal basis for him to pick that up, but they could have called him before they did that. I mean, he wasn't flying on United Airlines and have a stewardess goes, sir, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to put that phone away because if you talk on your phone, it's going to blow the plane up, which I have no idea why they don't let you have your cell phones on.
I know. But I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm intrigued by the draft coming up tomorrow just to see the young moves, you know, who's doing what to jockey to become. I mean, I'm not saying that Nuggets are the ones to win next year, but okay, Nuggets are the one to win. They're the reigning champs, right?
You got to do something to.
Is did the Grizzlies, are they going to do the right thing? Did they, you know, it's what is going to happen? All these coaching moves that we've gone through as well. We thought Nick Nurse was going to go here and he ends up there. And now is that enough of a move to help this direction over here? Is Draymond Green, where is he going to end up?
I think Draymond stays. I think he stays in Golden State. They pay him a lot of money. You know now they make a lot of money too. And the owner's extremely wealthy, but they're going to have $500 million in salary because the NBA, you just have to pay a tax on it. You can spend up whatever you want.
Right.
You just have to
it's
be able
a
to
luxury tax. Or
you just
whatever.
Have to
right.
be able
exactly.
to pay it. Who was it? Who was the first one you said? You said Draymond and
no, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Oh, and what for Ja Morant?
Right.
I still think Ja Morant's penalty is going to get below the threshold of him being able to get.
That there'll be a we're going to appeal this.
Yeah. See, well, the Players Association is going to appeal it because they don't like the number. And the reason they don't like the number is because it's a big enough number that he can't qualify for extra money. And they don't want that precedent set for the NBA to be able to do that, which on Adam Silver part was a great way to prove a point.
Right.
You know what? I can't suspend you for 50 games because that's never going to get through, but I'm going to suspend you for 25. And they never said anything. And then people started going, whoa, that's a lot of money. That's $25 million that he could get if he won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year and all that. It was a lot of money. And they're like, well, they can't do that. I'm sure they can.
I know you took the ability for him to win it away. Is there any legitimacy to him winning any of those?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
I mean, he is.
Right, if you feel that's
he
fine.
He is the, I'll tell you, the reason he's not the face of the NBA is because the NBA is scared to death to have him be the face of the NBA.
I know. But when just, that's why he's been suspended for 25 because of his actions.
Talk about what people want to see on TV. That's the dude they want to see on
TV. That's the dude they want to see on the court.
Yes. It's the, not the social stuff, which, I mean, he's not on social media as much as 90% of NBA players, but he just did dumb things on social media. But I think it's going to get reduced. But yeah, I do think he's a big deal. But it's always funny because you listen to, and I'm starting to understand that when you listen to sports radio commercially, you are absolutely right when what you've said to me a ton of times. And we don't do this. We don't try to take a side and then fight and to get ratings because we wouldn't know because we don't know what our ratings
right,
are
exactly.
Anyway. A lot of people do, and that's what talk radio is, and I think that's why people, like, we just started talking a little bit during the break that ESPN is changing. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max no longer going to be a program after. I mean, they might be done in the next week because their new season starts in July.
Right.
And it's – you can – Scott, you can tell on that show that they've talked, and this is why I think J. Will wants out. And you said that J. Will is not happy with the way ESPN's doing some things and how the show's going.
Right.
I think they during breaks say, okay, this is what I'm going to say, and you have to take that side, and you have to take that side. Go.
What are this? It's a point and counterpoint. I mean, it's one of those debate shows, but But we just talked about this because it was, where is it at here? It is according to there it was. Yeah, because we've got Kellerman is the one that they're talking that could be the big money personality due to the fact that Pat McAfee is arriving and
he's taken away his This Just In too.
And ESPN is replacing This Just In Kellerman with the Pat McAfee show.
And they just canceled his other show this afternoon. So he actually now he is their boxing guy, but. Not at that amount of money.
No.
So that doesn't look good. Jay Will's going to end up somewhere. Jay Will's good, and Keyshawn's going to end up somewhere either because he's a personality.
Well, and Jay Will actually is the one that has vocally said his displeasure with ESPN.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a steady ship right now. For it being called the mothership all the time, it is not a steady ship right now.
It is not the mothership, and it tied all of itself to ESPN or to Disney, and Disney Plus isn't doing what they thought Disney Plus was going to do, and I mean just down the line, ESPN's not doing
well. What was
their theme parks aren't doing well.
I know.
It's crazy. All right, we got one more segment before Randy Wehofer gets in here, but you're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We got plenty more to talk about. Get back in here. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Last segment of the first hour on this Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You can listen to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can also check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at ScottBrower_13, and at HappyHour_S. This segment will be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing, company. Okay, couple of things. Let's see here. First one, it's a big. I mean, this whole ESPN and Max Kellerman and Keyshawn and J. Will, that's everywhere. I mean, every.
Oh yeah,
it's a big deal. I think that should scare shows when stuff like that happens. I mean, that's a big time show that has big time sponsors that pay their people big time money,
right?
And it wasn't working. The second one is, now you're more of an adventurer than I am.
Don't no.
Yeah,
I know where you're going.
Would you go in a dark vessel and to go down and see Titanic?
Would I go in an LP tank for $250,000 and drop like a stone? No,
I don't even think if someone paid me $250,000, I would do it.
No.
I mean, and
there's no tether, there's no beacon, there's no GPS. Are you kidding me?
They're making pounding sounds every 30 minutes.
Not much more here.
And knowing, they know how much oxygen they have.
Oh, yeah.
They know it's less than 24 hours.
So this, it's sad. Very sad. It just makes me uncomfortable. Things like that.
Maybe I'm happy that I don't have that much money that I have to figure out what stupid things I can do to spend my money.
Right.
Wow.
4 hours down, 4 hours up.
Ick.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound fun.
I
don't like doing anything for 8 hours. It's so
like I heard somebody say, you could watch The Lord of the Rings for Pete's sake.
in the time that you were there. I thought this was interesting today. Penny Hardaway got suspended for 3 games.
I have that written right here.
Some kind of recruiting violations.
Not some kind of. It was, and here's how it goes down. Because he had a interaction with a recruit who was a junior. It was an in-home interaction.
No.
You can't do an in-home interaction with a junior. It can only be at the school.
At the school. And even a senior has to be in a time frame.
Right.
Yes.
He said, Penny said, well, I was unaware. NCAA said, that is unacceptable.
Right. But they said, you know what? It's unacceptable. And yes, Memphis has a long record of doing this, but 3 games. How's that sound? It's the 3 games that you play against people that don't care.
No. It's going to be different. I'm sure it's going to be some of the toughest games. They're going to randomly pick them out this season. It would never be the first games that don't matter.
Two of them who are you know, school of the blind, and that is really bad for. Wow. I didn't mean to say.
Dude, I cannot see you doing that joke again.
No.
So.
That's my age, folks. That's all that is.
Travelers Championship. Yeah, there you go. And just remember, folks, that is his opinion, not mine. Travelers Championship in, where was it again? Cromwell, Connecticut? Yeah.
It has to be. I mean, the insurance capital of the world is Connecticut. It's Iowa, actually.
It's actually New Hampshire. New Hampshire and then Iowa second.
Is it New Hampshire?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't question me on this. All right. Anyway. Who's your guy? Who are you feeling this week? Jeez. Who do you nice? Who do you feel this week for
John Rahm?
Really?
Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy. One of those three are going to break out and get a win.
All right, because I lost my you know what last week on BetMGM. I need to get a win back.
Well, you know, and that's a tough thing about when it's a major. That it's so
wow. Did you read that? Because because the threesome for looks like 11:40 on Thursday is John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, and Tony Finau.
Tony Finau has a shot too. He's long.
That'd be a good one to watch.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing, and everybody's at this tournament. You know why they're at this tournament? It's one of the tournaments that if you want to get your money at the end of the year,
you have to go to that. Right.
Yep.
That's. What was it? Rory was the one that skipped one of them.
Skipped one. He
said,
can't.
I don't care.
Because he's got money. But that's a lot of money. I mean, that's that's $25 million.
Jeez, I know. It's like they banned him for 25 games and they knew or something. Wait, that's a different sport. Yep. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I know.
If you want to go let Randy in, he's here. He's in the lobby.
It sounds like I heard him out here. So I will.
Is he? Yeah.
I'll go get him in the green room.
If this is the green room, have him come in here. He's perfectly fine. I'm glad I looked at. I don't normally look at my phone.
I heard him.
Oh. So this is great radio as we're staring at Randy. No, he's coming. Okay, he's coming. All right. So, some other things out here to talk about. I'm. If you know me, I'm just super excited to be able to get to talk to Randy Wehofer. One of the things, and I'll follow this up when Scott gets back in here too, but I kind of saw this one coming But I think everybody also knew that it was coming and had give warnings out before. But the Iowa High School Association is mad at the Iowa High School network that they're going to charge a fee to watch the games that they are going to broadcast. You knew it was coming. You had to have known that it was coming because they need operational income to be able to do it. And it was something that the Iowa High School Association did not want to be in charge of. So they came up with SSN and to be able to see these games. And I guess to a lot of people, any money that you have to spend on a high school game is probably too much money. My thing is they do a really good job. The content is good. I've been lucky enough to call a game. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But they went to district court today to get declaratory relief to try to get back and put it back in their preview. So that's an interesting thing. It's Randy. Hi, Randy. I need to hit Randy's mic. There you go. How's Randy?
I'm early.
You are early. Traffic was better.
I decided I needed to leave much earlier than I had been.
and an exciting game for you guys today. I'm glad you're both in here, though, because we'll tease this a little bit, maybe talk about it a little later. But anybody here surprised, raise your hand, that the Iowa High School Association thinks they've been duped by the SSN network, that they're going to start charging a pay-per-view to watch Iowa High School games out in the TV land.
Well, I think they're realizing how much money they're not getting because we pay for everything.
Yeah, so I thought for the Iowa High School Association to come out and say, you know what, hey, we didn't think you were going to do that. Really?
Right.
Now, I am lucky enough to have the Iowa Girls High School Association is in my building, and I know that they are one that said, I think they all realize it's the way it's going to be.
Right.
If you get content like that and you put it up, and you put it up as much as they get up there of games, you have to have a revenue source somewhere. It's just not something that I think that either of the associations can take that kind of hit. But it was just interesting that it seemed the Iowa Boys Association was shocked that they were going to ask for money to watch shows. How was your day today? How was the crowd?
Good. Nice little Wednesday. Had lots of groups. Skyboxes were full.
Gorgeous
day. Day camps that were there. Des Moines Parks and Rec had a bunch of kids that were there today. So we had a nice mix and a really terrific game. And yeah,
some fireworks for the iCubs today. So.
I think we got to our fourth hit before it was not a home run. I think we got a single in the fifth inning, and that was our first hit that wasn't a homer.
That is the reason, you know, if you're a baseball purist, you love pitching and defense, but fans like offense. And that was a good thing. You've started your back-to-back, so you had pretty good weather last week. This week looks, I don't think you're going to get any weather interruptions, so that's been a pretty good,
Gary likes to talk about if somebody's having, I don't know, a hitting streak or pitching a no-hitter or something like that. Gary's like, hey, let's acknowledge that, because that's exactly what you do in baseball.
Right now, we're breaking that mold of being able to talk about that. We're going to have Randy. We get him in the full hour. He was just here early today. Thank you, Des Moines Traffic, and thank you, Randy, for going. Yeah, it's not as fun a drive as what it looks.
And so, in the break, we'll explain to Gary the rules of the baseball gods.
It's okay. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. The three of us will be back right after this break. Welcome back in, and happy Wednesday, everybody. Second hour on this Wednesday. That means it's Randy Wehofer time, and we have him sitting across from us after a great day afternoon game, day game.
8-0 victory
exciting. We will get to that in a second. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at Randy Wayhofer. We have Minnesota Twins Red Sox tonight, right after the show. Twins get the Tigers, and then they get the Braves. Actually, they start. They travel to Detroit, and then they travel to Atlanta. They've had a four series homestand, so it's been some home time for. I think that's making up for the Twins not being able to get as many games in, home games in during the early season. I would suspect. We are going to say that this segment is brought to you by the Iowa Cubs, since we have Randy in here. So we have, we just got done today. What was Wednesday's thing at the park today?
Wednesday's the Windy City Wednesday bundle that you can get the Chicago hot dog, the Over the Ivy Confluence beer, and a reserve ticket for $23 every Wednesday.
Listen to that, folks. Yeah. Listen to that. So tomorrow, another great day out there. Thursday is
our Jurassic Ballpark night with our animatronic and interactive dinosaur displays from Ed's Dinosaurs. Ed and his group have been traveling around the country for a few years now. Indianapolis books them three nights out of the year. They're so popular there. South Bend has had them in a couple of seasons. They've started doing a full weekend and multiple nights. So we're gonna have that group in tomorrow, and if it's half as popular as it is in those other places, we'll get out ahead of it and bring them in again and get that on the schedule. So this is the first time we're hosting them, and it should be pretty cool.
Any numbers now for pre-sales look good? Is you seeing a spike in the expectation or anything?
Yeah, tickets are good. Tickets are strong. I mean, it's there's good group activity tomorrow. I think. There, the 24 hours before is always, the busiest time for sales. So, we had a good number and a good projection when we did our meeting, but that was like a week and a half ago, before the homestand started. So we had, 2 weeks before the game the last time. We always meet the Thursday before we open a new homestand and review, what are all the promotions, make sure we've got everything in place, take a look at ticket sales so everybody can staff appropriately and be as prepared as possible. But when you play 12 games in 13 days, our projections were out a little further from the last time we did that. But we know we're going to be busy. At this point, we're not limiting staff. We need to be prepared for big crowds and full park as often as we can here the rest of the season. Doesn't matter day of the week, forecast, all those things. There's lots going on.
And Friday night, always a big Friday night. Friday night is that the first of the Unity Point nights?
Yeah, so we've got Unity Point folks coming out Friday and Sunday. We've got baseballs to give away from Unity Point. This has been an annual tradition with them for a long time. So we'll have 4,000 to give away Friday, 4,000 more to give away on Sunday. Fireworks after the game on Friday, too.
There you go. Saturday.
Thomas Ian Nicholas from Rookie of the Year, Henry Rohengartner, will be back at the ballpark. It's the 30th anniversary of that movie, Rookie of the Year. Some may know him from the American Pie series, going back to his childhood acting days. And he was really terrific last year. We had him in, but we kind of put it together late. We didn't have a lot of notice, and there was lots of people that said, well, if I would have known he was coming, we would have been there for sure. So we're going to make them put their put up now and come out and see it. We've had this on the calendar for a while now, and unlike with some of the athletes and things, we don't have an expected time limit. He's going to be available in the concourse, lead the seventh inning stretch, and have a lot of fun. He's a really nice person. He's really engaging. He loves meeting people who love the Cubs and love that movie, and he's at Wrigley every year as part of leading the stretch and does a lot of those things. So he's a lot of fun. So if you like that movie, come out and see him.
He had a couple of games up in Wrigley. I saw that he was at Wrigley. So, I mean, that's pretty cool as well. So, and then you have the weekend coming up. I know Sunday is another Unity Point day. Mm-hmm. Saturday,
we've also got pregame catch. And then Sunday will be a Copa Demonios day. In addition to that. And all of our usual Sunday specials still apply. Your bike to the ballpark special, bring non-perishable food items for the DMARC food pantry, and you get a free general admission ticket. We've got our family fun pack, which we got a tremendous response for Father's Day. I know we talked about that last time I was here, and I think we sold three times as many of the family fun packs as we ever have before for Father's Day. So people were paying attention, and that's pretty cool. It's a great deal, especially if you're coming out, let kids run the bases after the game, and you get everything all in one fell swoop.
Okay, so we've got this 12-game homestand. We're 8 games through it. They're 6-2, looking amazing. What's your Randy's eye of watching this? Is it the bats are doing that great? Is the bullpen doing what it's supposed to do? What is making this team a success through the stretch?
You know, for us, it's been a little bit of everything. I think, and it kind of depends on the day. You know, last on Father's Day, we had a score. 5 in the 8th and 1 in the 9th to walk off with a sac fly and came from behind today, 8-0. Everything was clicking. Caleb Killian was really, really good today, and his command was really good. He's got such great stuff, and that's why he's the top prospect. But, you know, unless you can put it exactly where you want it in multiple ways, a great majority of the time you're going to struggle no matter how good your stuff is. But he was really on point today. And then the offense gave him plenty. So, we remade the bullpen on the fly here recently where some older guys got outs in their contracts. Tyler Duffy and Vinny Natoli are no longer with the Cubs. Jeremiah Estrada came back from the big leagues and has been struggling a little bit, so he's going to try to get himself right. You know, we brought up 3 or 4 guys from Double A. We had a his name's escaping me, Daniel – something but he's just up from Double A. He finished the game for us today. If you open up the box score, we'll get his name right. He had 101 on the scoreboard today. He came into the Undertaker music. I went down to the clubhouse to get something. I come out and the Undertaker music is playing from the WWE, and he comes out and he's hitting 100 and 101 on the radar gun today.
That's exciting.
Daniel Palencia. That's
Palencia. There, yes.
Yeah, so your first couple of days up from Double A, you're getting your feet under you now. Now he's got his entrance music, and he's throwing 101, blowing guys away. So I think that's going to help kind of stabilize some things as these guys make their adjustment to being at a new level and get settled in with us.
You kind of hop back in on Tuesday, July 4th, St. Paul Saints coming in, fireworks day.
Fireworks and our citizenship ceremony. The last year, because of the way the weekend worked, we had fireworks July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. But we've just got the one big holiday show on Tuesday, the 4th of July, and we'll start it with the citizenship ceremony, which has become a wonderful tradition for us. I think this will be year 15 or 16. I think that started my first year in 2008, and it's a wonderful ceremony, probably as much for all of the rest of us as it is for the new citizens, you know, because the messaging and the understanding of what it really means to be an American and being the melting pot and being accepting and understanding, you know, what it is you're pledging allegiance to in terms of government, but not to culture and not to family traditions. And it's a terrific speech and a terrific program, and I know there are people that come as much for the citizenship ceremony as they do for the fireworks.
I like that.
And it's really well done, and I look forward to it every year, even though it's really similar.
You have fireworks again on Friday night, July 7th, and then Marvel's Defender of the Diamond Night on Saturday. That's got to be a big one, too.
Yeah, we'll unveil the new Marvel uniforms that we have with the new Marvel logo, where Cubby's been drinking a little bit of what Hulk's gotten into in the new logo. And we will have the character appearances from the Hulk and Ant-Man. We thought that would be a nice one against the other. They have an interesting rapport in some of the movies as movie characters, and we thought that'd be some pretty good picture taking for kids and families to meet the Hulk and Ant-Man. We had Captain Marvel and Black Panther in earlier. Spider-Man will be coming in August, but we'll have Hulk and Ant-Man this time, and those are always fun days.
And then do you, are you, so you had a 2 week stretch that you were in, and then do you have a 2 week stretch that you're out right after?
No.
Or is it just a week?
We had the 2 week stretch. We were out in May.
Ah, okay.
So we've got the 2 weeks here, and then for July, August, and September each, we've got two full homestands each month. And July gets broken up a little bit by the All-Star break. There's no AAA All-Star game again yet. They've not reinstituted that, but we have the break during the Major League All-Star break. So we've got a short series that we come in into Columbus before we come back after the break. But I think we hit halfway on Sunday when we play the last game of this series against the Redbirds. So but it still feels like we've got plenty of time to go. You know, we've got six full homestands even after Sunday wraps up, and certainly the 4th of July is one of the most important days in minor league baseball across the country, let alone here locally. It's a tradition. We make sure that we blow it out especially good for the fireworks, and we don't think that there's a better show around, and it's a great place to enjoy the game and the fireworks and the camaraderie and all that goes along with it, and it's usually a lot of fun.
So just questioning, is this something like over July 4th having home games, do they try to get you every other year? Some years you get two in a row and maybe miss one, or how does that usually work out?
The tradition has always been everyone in minor league baseball is home either July 3rd or July 4th.
Okay.
And that has worked out okay the last couple of years as we've transitioned to this new six-game series set. As 4th of July moves deeper in the week, that's going to be trickier. And so there are different formats for the future as to whether or not you might miss one, but it would never be more than a year, and you'd figure out something. But we've done, July 6th firework, we'll make sure we find it. But it's certainly optimal when people have the time off and are able to come out in big numbers.
Once again, Randy Wehofer, Iowa Cubs. He is the VP and assistant general manager of the iCubs. And I just wanted people to know that Randy's not totally in control of when you can have fireworks on July 4th. It's a work in progress. So don't be yelling at Randy at the ballpark. It's not his deal.
Betfred zone. I know we've talked about this before, but it is could you walk up the day of the game? Do you have to do it a week in advance? It's a table for four. It's $100 a piece, but it is a day, correct?
Yeah, and it's best in order to pre-order to do that at least a day in advance.
Okay.
You can walk into Betfred anytime. It's a $5 charge. You get a chip that gets you your first drink at the bar, and you can go in and out any day of that. But for the table of four, it is best if you plan it at least a day ahead so we can make sure that we have everything ready for the different menu items. So you get the table for four. It is two entree items that are just shareable, huge portions. It's bottomless draft beer, bottomless Coke products and water. And then you get four chips for the bar for mixed drinks or wine. You get the four tables inside. You get wait staff at your table. There's restrooms inside the lounge, so you don't have to leave. But you also get four seats outside in section A or B there by the bullpen. So on a beautiful day, you can go back and forth between the two. You're not all the time inside or all the time outside. You can go back and forth, and it's the only option in the ballpark where you can take advantage of both of those. So it's not quite all you can eat, but it's all you would want, and it's all inclusive for that price.
So it is not a sports book at the ballgame.
The Betfred name is in a similar way that BMW is on the suites and Hy-Vee is on the mezzanine. They are branding themselves to gain notoriety and to gain your attention, but there is no actual betting taking place inside Betfred.
Not saying that was actually a question, but I have heard that before.
I've heard it too.
Is it a sports book? I said, I don't believe so.
Nope.
No, it isn't. But because of the nature of that sponsorship, it is a 21 and over space. Because of the advertising messaging that is related to downloading their app and participating legally in Iowa in sports betting, it is a 21 and over space to be at one of those tables.
$5 chip gets you in. Is it get your drink? You got to get back out. Is there a standing room only?
Yeah. So where the tables are is separated from the rest of the area by some stanchions. So we make that table space exclusive to the people that reserve it. But you can go stand at the bar. There are some places at the back. You can look out the windows. You can catch the Chicago Cubs game on the televisions that are playing alongside the Iowa Cubs game and the things that are going on inside. You know, we've got the Betfred patio that's outside where we got bags and some other stuff, and it's a, you know, a place you can hang out outside too and go back and forth.
Well, I just people that know me, I'm when it gets to a certain, I will pay the money to go stand in the air and watch the game opposed to sweating my you know what off. So,
right.
But it's
a good deal though to
do the table to table would be one thing. But I just the idea that you can go in. At any time, that was one thing that we never actually talked about.
To grab.
Yeah, and it's one of the, you know, the bottom of the fifth behind home plate. We have some mixed drinks available in the Confluence stand inside Gate A, and then Betfred is the only place. So if you're interested in having a cocktail at the ballpark and other something other than a beer, those are the only three places to do it, and the largest selection is inside Betfred for certain.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
you wander in there.
And no doubt. For someone like me, who has to watch what he does now, any NA beer at iCups?
There is some available in the bottom of the fifth.
Bottom of the fifth.
Yes. That's a place. That's not a thing.
No, I know.
It's the bar behind home plate next to the first aid station.
There we go. There see? Go. That's
you. And there are some good NAs out there.
Oh, there's some great NAs out there. I have not had an issue with any of that. So,
yeah, I got the whole, my wife has to work tomorrow night. She says, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'll probably go down and see Randy. She, seriously, night I work, you think you're going to go to the game? I don't think so. So anyway, I'll see you tomorrow night, Randy.
That's a no. Let's see. We still have a minute and a half. Anybody? Oh, we don't even have that long. It is the first segment. We're already done. So I'm going to save two questions. I have some Major League questions for you as well. Once again, it's great to have Randy in here on Wednesdays so we get to talk iCubs.
I have some breakout questions for him.
There you go. Wow, look at you.
You know what I'm talking about.
I am. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. More baseball talk. That's my kind of day. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter. It's at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at Randy Wayhofer. Since Randy is in here, that means it's Wednesday, which is awesome. And they also had a great game today. We'll talk about that in a sec. You also can check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. You have Twins Red Sox today, Twins Tigers through the weekend, and Twins Braves on Monday, Tuesday. Scott and I will be out after tomorrow until July 5th, which would be a Wednesday, I do believe.
Yes.
Yep. We got
yes, it.
It
is.
Once again, we have Randy Wayhofer sitting in here, the assistant GM and VP of the Iowa Cubs. A great day today, a victory, a fun victory, some hitting and some pitching. So a double dose today and a big win, Randy.
Yeah, we had four home runs today, and Caleb Killian was really terrific. It's just one of those days that, you know, where you get that right matchup. Sometimes a day game on the road for a team, you know, Memphis, they won game one on Tuesday night. They're a good team. They're well over 500. They're having a pretty good season. So we're even one apiece. The Cub-Cardinal rivalry is always fun to have in town. A lot of people wearing their red shirts and Cardinal hats and jerseys and coming out. I think it's people that come regularly. They just wear those shirts when Memphis is in town. I see those faces a little bit more often. So it's not like we would have nobody there if we weren't playing Memphis. I think some of the regulars just wear different clothes when they come. But it does add something. The players mention it. The coaching staffs talk about it. It is a thing. And when Memphis is in town, it draws extra interest, and that's always fun.
Curious, you're saying that Memphis is having a good year, as you guys are as well. Their parent club, St. Louis, 13 games under 500. With that group down there, are there some young upcoming stars with that group for St. Louis?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the prospect list really closely, but there's some names that I recognize from being around for a little bit. They're a little bit of an older club, and I think that happens when typically a team that expects to be good at the major league level with a veteran kind of roster, they'll have an older AAA club, and so their insurance in case of injury, that, you know, guys, they'll go up and not embarrass you, and it's not as prospect laden. I don't know the Cardinal system well enough to know which of the guys may be in that younger group, but, you know, there's Taylor Motter that was with the Mariners, and some guys that I recognize that are, you know, have been around the game a little bit. So I think the underperformance in St. Louis is a surprise, and the way the roster is constructed to AAA reflects that in a bit. You know, the Cardinals haven't sold anybody off to have, you know, they're only developing the guys that they draft, and it's hard to have a bunch. You know, the Cubs have brought together this group in large part because they traded for World Series champions to accumulate a bunch of guys to try to bring through at the same time. So it's a little bit different dynamic based on where the clubs are and what the expectations are, and I think there's certainly a reflection of, you know, I don't think St. Louis expected to underperform the way they are going into this season, whether from their front office, their fan base, or even their staff.
We talked a little bit, Scott brought this up when Randy first came in, and we were talking about Shohei Ohtani. And I tried to, you know, non-baseball people, how do you explain somebody like him? And you know, they see, like, they consider, like, Deion Sanders. He played football, and he came and played baseball. And Deion did a really good job. He sold to Bo Jackson, kind of the same, did that. But what he's doing in sports, unless you go back to Babe Ruth, where competition wasn't anywhere near what competition is today, just in your mind, how do you get with the way baseball is, and that's from baseball from high school through college to here, not wanting to overdo people, how do you get someone like him? I mean, how does someone like him just kind of fall into the lap of all of us that love baseball?
I think it's all such unique circumstances that you have to have a support system that allows you to be all of those things and not give it up. I think, you know, that athlete doesn't exist in the United States because parents are too wrapped up in their own rat race of comparing kids against one another, that it's hard to be that good at everything and not fall behind somewhere. You and then you have to be unique enough as your own person to want it really badly. You know, and Shohei's got to do the work at some time. So you got to have the support system that doesn't talk you out of trying to be good at both things. Then you have to be willing to do the work. And then you have to have the natural ability from genetics and God-given talent to be able to pull it off. You know, it's pretty clear, no matter how hard I would have worked, I couldn't do any of the things that he's doing. You know, even if I was in some, you know, because nobody else does either. I think those are just all the unique circumstances that has led to this moment in time. You know, we talked about it a little bit with, you know, Steph Curry, and then how Caitlin Clark has followed in those footsteps of, you know, if we took those shots in the gym before practice started, we would have been yelled at by our coaches, let alone in a game when it mattered to shoot a ball from the logo. So you got to have someone who's creative enough to say, I think this could work. Go ahead and work on that. I mean, and that just doesn't exist in our culture in America. So I think that's probably the most limiting factor of all.
We talked yesterday, statistically for that team, he leads them in every category in pitching and in hitting. It's mind-boggling. And we're lucky that we get to see people like that. You know, we get to see Caitlin Clark do what she did. So there you go. There's your lead-in to our...
Oh, it was a discussion we had right out of the chute today. It's because we have two Iowa-based names that are involved with the ESPYs. We've got Brock Purdy and we've got Caitlin Clark, both nominated for being a breakout athlete of the year. I said it was obvious. The breakout for expectations to where he ended, it's Brock Purdy. Obviously, Steen went with it's Caitlin Clark. Where do you, number one, do you care about the ESPYs? Number two, where do you, when you say, when you look at breakout, where do you think it goes?
I think in the context of the ESPYs, the breakout is nationally. And so the difference between Caitlin and Brock to me is in our small circle, Caitlin isn't a breakout player because we've known for a long time what she's capable of and what she's accomplished. Nobody knew that Brock Purdy would be this good of an NFL quarterback. So I think nationally, Caitlin Clark is more surprising because there's an awareness outside of the state of Iowa that is new for her, even though it was not a secret to us. I think it's not surprising at all to people who knew her as a high school athlete that she's really good.
Okay. I quit laughing because you know he's starting to lean towards your side. I mean, evidently, you didn't understand my question. So,
to be honest, if I was voting, I'd probably vote for Brock Purdy.
Oh, okay.
But
I'm not saying that I wouldn't vote for Brock Purdy. But I'm just saying I think she's going to win.
The way Brandy so eloquently describes the scenario, yes, I agree with how he is saying.
And it's a TV show, so and ESPN is building the ESPYs in order to tell stories to get viewership and clicks and all those things. And Caitlin is the much more engaging nationally in terms of. I was kidding Tommy Birch today in the press box he was talking about something he tweeted. I said, aren't you supposed to just say Matt Campbell went to an NFL game with Caitlin Clark, and then everybody in the world will click on it? No matter, you know, she is in that genre of things. So I think, you know, if Brock Purdy wasn't Mr. Irrelevant, I'm not sure he makes that list or gets that nomination. I think that element of being the last draft pick is also what makes him more engaging. If he was a fourth-round pick and did all the things that he did, I don't think it would have had the same impact nationally as the Mr. Irrelevant moniker that follows him by being the last pick, but being a really good quarterback that got an opportunity with a really good team, which further demonstrates my longstanding opinion that the idea of drafting a quarterback number one overall is the dumbest thing that you can do if you have a bad football team.
If you have a good football team, you have to have a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over and you can win football games in the NFL. You don't have to pay. Brock Purdy's never going to make $25 million a year, but he can win a lot of football games.
Okay. I just want to take real quick. Did you see how eloquent and polite his response was? He didn't lash out at me.
Right. He didn't do what you did to me.
Oh, stop. Stop.
I love when I find myself in the episode of The Honeymooners.
It was just, as soon as he started talking, you saw the smile on my face. I'm like, if it was on CBS, I would say Brock Purdy would win. The fact that it's on ESPN, I think Caitlin Clark wins.
Right.
And because of social things is why I think Caitlin will win over Brock Purdy.
Right. Exactly. Randy said, it's a TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a rated thing.
It hits home and it gives them the ability, for a good reason, that they're trying to pump up women's sports. And so that's going to work that way.
As a tangent to come on, a few of our conversations we had, because we were talking about that the Iowa High School Association, their game's going to be at a fee now. We were talking off the air about how even I watch Prospect League baseball that I pay to go see it and stuff like that. Are the iCubs televised? Is it online? Where can we go to watch the iCubs?
So this year, Bally Live is a new app that it is free, that all of our games are streamed. Except for the handful of our games that are on marquee television. When we're on marquee, then it's still on the Bally Live app, but it's kind of on a secondary channel of the Bally Live app. But Minor League Baseball has this new partnership with it, and it's Bally Live without the S. Bally's is a different thing. Bally is such a huge brand. You hear the Bally's name and selling the Tropicana and the A's, and Bally's is a monstrous umbrella. And this is one division of that in streaming, and they own the Pro Volleyball Tour, which was the primary content on this, and they've expanded by adding Minor League Baseball. Minor League Baseball has had MILB.TV, which was a subscription service that you could stream games. Bally is now a free opportunity for fans this year, except for those marquee games. And those are home and road, but you'll get the broadcast of the home team for now. We're working on the infrastructure for everybody to get some encoders so that you can listen to Alex call our game home and away, which is something I always complained about in my broadcasting days, that if you wanted me to get people to subscribe to MILB.TV, the biggest complaint was people who did said, well, I don't want to listen to the Round Rock announcer
right
when we're in Round Rock. But that's where the Minor League technology is. It's a little bit different. So Bally Live, B-A-L-L-Y, Live. And then they've got opportunities. There's a chat associated and a Netflix-like party watch kind of thing. And the more you watch, the more Bally Bucks you earn for prizes and different things. And they're building it into a whole program. But there is a way now through the MILB First Pitch app and then through this Bally Live app that you can get our feed of every game.
That is
nice. Well, I appreciate the definition because my mind did instantly go, oh, it's a casino thing, which I think the Bally's is defunct anyway. But anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, but no, thank you for the definition.
Well, and I think kind of like our Betfred conversation earlier, that was one of the things I raised at the winter meetings was if we're going to reduce the average age of our audience in baseball in general and in minor league baseball, and I think about 12-year-old me that was falling in love with the game who now has a phone and who now has the ability as a parent, if I see, you know, why am I letting my kid download the Bally Live app what is our education process on helping to understand the relationship between all of those things? I'm probably unique in the room where I actually think about what 12-year-old kids think, that they don't spend a lot of money, so they don't get a high priority necessarily in some of the high-level vision kind of stuff. But I do think it's an important conversation.
I do.
So
I
they
do.
Should change it from Betfred to the Minecraft Lounge. So
that's a whole other extreme that may or may not.
Probably not where they want to go as well. But that, you know, it's interesting when, you know, you brought up a good point when these organizations, businesses are buying into these organizations and then they go bankrupt. And what it does to individuals and fans and the cities and all that. And it's happening more and more nowadays. And it's happening probably for a bad thing because then you get four or five who can buy everybody up. And then it makes it more difficult for all the rest of us. The more that you have that's willing to do different things, you get to have the ability to have it to be free and to be able to watch it and we're missing some of those things with some of these sports.
Well, what was my hurdle? I still call it Sec Taylor, and that's no disrespect to being Principal Park, but it's Sec Taylor Field at Principal Park, but it's just I'm old school.
That's what we grew up in, and that's what we do. We have one more segment left with Randy and on this Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. When we come back, I'm going to ask Randy two questions. How in the world are the Cincinnati Reds doing what they're doing, and is it good for baseball? We'll come back and talk about that. Welcome back in. Last segment on this Wednesday. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ. At Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _13, and at Happy Hour _SS, along with at Randy Wehofer, assistant GM and VP of the Iowa Cubs, sitting in with us this whole hour of the 5 o'clock hour. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700champ.com. You get Twins Red Sox tonight, Twins Tigers. They're up in Detroit Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they head to Atlanta on Monday, Tuesday. You got the last read.
Should we just call it Wehofer Wednesdays from now on?
I think so. Okay, that's a good one.
Make it
it's a
last read.
WW.
There you go. Heritage Building Maintenance. Because that's the one you didn't do, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, provide peace of mind, and protecting our future by being certified partners in science-proven microbial control to provide advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com. Check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. La, la, la.
La, la, la. So, since I won the first argument of the day, I'm going to let you ask Randy your question before I ask mine.
Wow. You didn't win. You got you asked some right questions. All right. What I was – well, we know you love your opinion. I'm looking as Randy with his owner slash GM cap on, if you will. I'm talking about Marcus Stroman. As of recent, is doing very well. There is talk now popping up of, all right, I know we don't have to do it right now to renegotiate. Should we lock him down now? Is he worth the money? Has he done enough to have this kind of talk about, hey, let's lock this guy down?
I think so. I think that's an important decision for where you're headed as an organization. I think he is the type of pitcher and the type of personality similar to bringing John Lester in when they did, because it allows everybody else to get in line behind him, and he can handle the pressure and the expectation that goes with being the number one guy. I think Jake Arrieta never becomes the pitcher that he did if he had to be the number one and they didn't go get Lester to take some of the pressure off. It put him in the slot where he could meet and exceed expectations, except instead of always chasing trying to be the lead guy when he had never done that before on a major league staff. Stroman has a great track record. He's proven when he's healthy, and his experience in New York, he has been outspoken about, was a terrible fit personality-wise, and he wasn't really healthy. So I think he seems to be in a good place as a competitor in Chicago and with this club, and I think his track record as a proven major league starter, if you want to say we are done rebuilding again and are ready to go forward and build a winning major league roster, I think making a commitment to Marcus Stroman is one strong way to do that, and I think it's a reasonable decision to make based on all of those factors.
All right, so big Cubs, Chicago Cubs, 9 out of 11 out of last. They're 3.5 games out of first. With this type of talk going on with Stroman, are we actually, okay, can you look at a Cubs fan and say, you know what, maybe we do spend the money at the break. Maybe we do make a run at it. I hate to say this because I hate getting my hopes up, but am I wrong for thinking that this may actually be something?
Yeah, I don't think you need to sell, and how many chips you push to the table of what you go to acquire, I think it's reasonable in this division to say, are the Cincinnati Reds capable of sustaining this for another 3 months? And that's a big I don't know.
Right, exactly.
While the Reds have won 11 in a row, you've gone 9-2 in those same 11 games. You've surpassed the Pirates, who seem to be the market correction on where Pittsburgh was.
Right.
St. Louis, they showed some signs of life, and then they've turned back the other way again. I don't know that they're viable to make a big run. So this is a winnable division. Now, how much do you need to acquire to become a championship club compared to the Rays or compared to who some of the other elite teams in Major League Baseball are? And who I think getting a closer would be a huge step in the right direction, and you may have some pieces to do that. But I would take Stroman, Hendricks, Steele, Smiley in a playoff series the way they've pitched so far. And now that Bellinger's back and you're getting more than you've bargained for out of Mike Tauchman for a while, so you ride that. But if Tauchman comes back to his level, and maybe he doesn't, maybe he is this good, I don't know, but if he comes back to his level, you can go back to putting Bellinger in center field. You can go back to Mancini. Maybe Mervis gets right. Maybe he doesn't for a while, whatever the case may be. But you can get one closer and one bat, and do you have enough resources to do that? I think you do. If he started selling, I think it would be a disaster at this point in time. I think that would send all the wrong messages and be questionable as to what you were doing the last 3 years if you don't take this core after getting Swanson, after ponying up for Suzuki, after committing to Hap, after Horner's got a long time before you got to pay him any big money. Even if Bellinger's a one-year guy, you've got prospects that could come behind him. Gomes and Barnhart are terrific veteran catchers to lead a pitching staff. The makings are there in a mediocre at best division that if you don't seriously entertain locking up some key pieces, I think you send a signal that's going to alienate your fan base and you're missing a potential opportunity, because if you get in, you never know what happens. And I'll ride those starting pitchers in a 5-7 game series and see what I get.
You know, the thing that I like the most of, I was watching them the other night, is how their pitchers are pitching too. I mean, you can tell they have plans. I mean, they're not throwing them out there and going, okay, you guys go, you're that good. I mean, they have a plan. They know spots they're hitting. They know who they can throw to, who they can't throw to. I mean, they're thinking things through, and it's been fun to watch that. And there's nobody in baseball that is just blowing people away. I mean, I get Tampa Bay really good. A lot of teams spending a lot of money. You have to be smart, but I think you're right. I think you're kind of looking the same way I am. You have to have pitching. You have to have defense. Now, you have to score runs too, but if you can keep your mistakes down and you get good pitching, so you're not, you know, you don't strike out 8, but you walk 7, if you're not doing that, I like the pitching staff too. I like the makeup of them. I think they're tougher than they used to be.
I don't love the bullpen, but right. If you added one more established guy at the back that moved everybody one step back down the line in their role, I think it would make a big difference. So there's one or two pieces that I would like to see in a wish list scenario, and I don't know the economics and the resource, you know, what the value would be, and I think it's early enough that you don't have to decide that right now. But I think I do know this about Major League Baseball. Every winning team, every championship contending team has a guy who accepts the responsibility of being the ace of that staff. And Stroman is that personality to go along with the talent. And I don't think that everybody who has the talent has the makeup to be that guy when it gets down to the postseason. And that's why I think he's valuable.
And see, that's even on, I was watching last night, I was watching Clayton Kershaw, huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
He just walks out there thinking he's going to win every game he's in, no matter if he's got great stuff, bad stuff, if people mess up, any of that. He just thinks he can win. It's that mental makeup of an individual that nobody can, you know, burst your bubble or knock you off the mound and try to do things to you. If you have that, you know, CC Sabathia used to be that way. He didn't have the greatest stuff. He just willed himself to throw big games and could throw a lot of pitches.
John Lester,
same thing.
Is that guy Jack Morris? Yeah. You know,
same guy.
I mean, there is a great history in the game of great competitiveness, which is undervalued, I believe, in our game. When you think about, you know, I've said this many times, that people miss the point of Moneyball. The point of Moneyball was market inefficiency, which in that moment in time was on base percentage. I believe a current market inefficiency is competitiveness.
Right.
I think we've got a bunch of guys who try to spin the ball and launch the ball and are playing video games in real life, and that if you compete at a high level and an elite level, that is more rare than it has ever been in Major League Baseball. And if you have somebody with that makeup or access to that makeup, and I think Stroman fits in that category, I think the competition to get that guy from you is not as steep as it probably should be. So the price could be right, because I don't know what the competition would be for a 5'7" aging right-handed pitcher in the grand scheme of things. Right. But there's no reason to believe in the next 3 to 4 years that he can't lead a staff that would be of a really good team, in my opinion.
And I love Moneyball. I watch it all the time. And the thing that always irritates me is the one thing they forget to say is they had a starting pitching staff that threw complete games and never put the team in a situation where you had to score a lot of runs. It just kind of left that part of that out.
And the movie is a cartoon version of the book, and the book really
did
dives in a little bit more. If you've only seen the movie, you've got about a third of what that
not
story
as good
was
as
really
the book,
about.
And I agree with that as well. Randy, it's always a pleasure to have you in. Thank you very much. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
See you tomorrow.
101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more day, then we're on vacation, my friend.